We spoke about a Shiveinu last time. We're going to speak about Nachman Avinu. I want to point out two more points about Hashiveinu. One is, you know, there's three chalakim to it. There's Hashiveinu Vidasar Secha, that's one. Karveinu Malkeinu Avada Secha is two. And Hachazireinu Vishuva Shlemel Fanecha is three. So there's sort of three different inyanim of tshuva, or three different dargis, or something that we're asking for. So the goyin, in the name of the goyin, it's the Ebitzuk Malzah, the name of the goyin, says that three things are missing from the time. You know, there are three major inyanim: Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. These are the three inyanim that ever since the Churban Beis Hamikdash, they all collapsed basically. For different reasons. So Hashiveinu Avinu Sal Secha is Keneged Torah. Karveinu Malkeinu Avada Secha is Keneged Tefillah. And Aseinu Shuv Hashem Lefanecha is Keneged Gemilas Chasadim. The first two are obvious, you know, Torah Secha, Avada Secha. Aseinu Shuv Hashem Lefanecha, I guess by default, is Gemilas Chasadim. He just points out that the difference is Avoda we just don't have. Because even if a person wants to be Eved Hashem b'chol moedu b'chol levavu, there's no korbanos, there's no koyin, most of Sidri Avoda is gone. So on that we say, v'karveinu malkeinu avoda secha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to it. The same thing in terms of Gemilas Chasadim, we're lacking in means, we're very poor, and so on. Torah, he says, is really munachas b'karen zavis. If anybody wants to, if anybody is inclined to, he could learn, he should learn. So it's just that it's neglected. So over there we say Hashiveinu Vinasar Secha means bring us back to it. It's not something that, you know, it's something that we need to come back to, and so on. That's Hashem the Goyen. I wanted to add a different Nekuda here. We mentioned it last time a little bit, that the Gemara says once Bina comes, that's where Tshuva follows in the wake of Bina. Let's flesh it out a little bit more. When a person has charata and he does tshuva, so befoal, in terms of what he does, it's quite simple. The person was eating machalas asuris, he stops eating machalas asuris, he stops eating things that are kasha, and that's that. And it makes no difference in terms of the motivation of the person. But let's think a little bit more deeply. If the problem is, imagine somebody's problem in school is that he's goofing off and not getting good grades. So he's getting 50s instead of 100s. That's a problem. So now the person, whatever his motive is, he's now changed. Somebody offered him $10,000 to pull straight A's a semester. So the guy rolls up his sleeves and he gets straight A's. So what I can say is his performance has changed. Has this person's quest for intellect changed? Probably not. The one lesson he learned is that money is worth more than anything else. Has this person decided that he wants to do what's right? No. It's one thing. So when you ask yourself in terms of doing what's right, the ways to get to that are many. In terms of reconstructing the person, in other words, Adam being Tov means that the entire person from top to bottom flows with Tov. The person's kaima is Tov. If we hit only the outside piece of it, we really haven't changed the person. And I can't say the word of tshuva, which means to come back to where you were. Tshuva doesn't mean to do what's right. Hashiveinu means to go back to something. Go back to what? So doing an action is a new thing. So for instance, let's say I used to give $100,000 a year for tzedakah, and I stopped. So in 2 years from now, I start doing it again. I didn't go back, in a sense. I started giving this year, the next year, and so on. To go back, the word Hashiveinu means that I'm going back to a certain model of behavior, to a certain mahala, to a certain self that wasn't there without it. So to do that requires rebuilding the person from inside out. So Lamasha, let's say I had been giving tzedakah because I was a very good-hearted person. And I felt it was the right thing to do and to give tzedakah, and I was giving $100,000 a year. Then I got very upset, angry, annoyed, cheap, mean, I was selfish, whatever you wanted, and I stopped giving the money. 2 years later, somebody comes and tells me, listen, you're not going to be able to keep doing business because if people say about you that you're cheapskate and you don't support the community and not community sensitive, then people don't want to do business with you. So I say, okay, it makes sense. $100,000 a year will get you $1 million worth of business. Good deal. So I haven't become a generous person again. Let's say someone comes along and tells me it'll be a problem with shidduchim for my kids. Or somebody will come and tell me anything else that's not making me a generous person again. I can't call that tshuva. I'm not going back to anything. I'm just now making a new cheshbon that it's kedai for me today to give tzedakah so that I get more business, better shidduchim, more covered, whatever it is. So in order to be to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu after I've strayed, I need to rebuild my pnimius outwards. So the first step is Torah, which means understanding and das, just like we said, atachon eladam das. So now let me understand what's right. Our klal is that the beginning of a person is his das and understanding. If I ask myself, I have two people in front of me, each one gives $100,000 a year. What determines which one is a good person and which one is just giving money? The answer is it depends on the motive. The motive depends also, in a rooted way, on your mindset. What is it that you understand? A generous person is someone who understands, his mind accepts that giving is good. That's what generous is. It's a way of understanding something. So the first step to any meaningful rebuilding of a person is through Torah, where a person understands, it becomes his understanding as what is right and what's not right. Let's give another example. So we get these because it's important. It's a piece that people miss out. When I say somebody's a neat person, so imagine a woman works in my house. I pay her well, and she puts my house together very neat. But at home, her own home is a mess because no one's paying her to keep her home neat, so it's a mess. I wouldn't call that person a neat person. I would call this person knows how to work well. This person knows how to make things neat. But I can't call his activities, her activities, a tchunas hanefesh. The good in a person is his. If that's the way he understands and sees reality. So the first step is, after we have the das to understand, we have hashivena v'nasa asecha. We want to come back to Torah, that's first, so that we understand and know and so on and so forth. The next step is, from Torah, to a person can understand and know what's right, but he lacks the transmission, let's call it, or the gears to take that and transmit it to action. So we have one chisarim where a person does what's right, but for a very different motive. So I can't go. A second thing is, could be I'm a very neat person, and it bothers me when things are out of order. I have a very clear sense of order. But I'm also lazy. And I, instead of getting up and organizing my room and stuff in my house so that it's neat, I stay in bed and get depressed from the way my house looks. That's another mahalach, where you have the same type of person, but he can't implement it. A person who grows up from an erlich, and he believes in Torah, and he thinks it's right, and so on, but he doesn't have what it takes to get it going. That mahalach is called avodah. And that's the next piece that has to fall in place. That the person's body, so to speak, accepts the old We talk about Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim and Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. There's that connection. It's like a car. You have the wheels, you have the engine. The engine could be going really, really strong. But if the gears are neutral, nothing's going to happen except a lot of noise and smoke. That's it. There's nothing going to happen because it's not engaged. The knach of engaging the person's self to what he understands, that's called avoda. And that's why the yoke is over here. The yoke of avoda is over here, because that's the chibur between the head and the rest of the guf. Finally, we ask v'achzireinu b'tshuva shleim fanecha. Now we have a mahalach of tshuva. So if when a person is asking Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I should do tshuva, what I'm really interested in rebuilding my kaima to fit what's good, it starts that my understandings and attitudes should be positive. And that's Torah. It continues that whatever I understand and know, I should be inclined, I should have what it takes to implement it. It should be a mechayev of maisa. And finally, I should be able to do my maisa again. That's the mahalach of tshuva, the way it is. One more point. At the bracha ends haroitza v'shuva. There are kimat no. There's no. Every other bracha is chonin, marvelous loach, gol yisrael, v'varach hashanim, and so on. This is the only one that we say haroitza v'shuva. We say ritzei afterwards, which is interesting. The obvious reason is because everything else that we ask for are things that Be'etzem HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us seichel, no matter how much we can develop our seichel, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's giving seichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to grant us mechila. We can stand and fast and jump up and down, and so on. All the other brachas are things that it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do, and we mispal that he should do. Tshuva, at the end of the day, is up to us. In other words, we're asking for, when we say Hashiveinu, Karveinu, and Achzireinu, we're not asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the tshuva for us. There's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. It is the most focused on our bechira is to do tshuva. That's obvious. So we can't say Baruch Ata Hashem Hachayze B'tshuva, Baruch Ata Hashem Hamachze B'tshuva. None of that makes sense. So we Shabbat Hakadosh Baruch Hu of Haroitze B'tshuva. But it's still so fine. That's a sharp explanation as to why here we change and call it a b'shuva. But so what are we asking for? We're saying hashiveinu. We're saying karveinu. We're saying achzireinu. How does that drive it? So what are we asking for? So bal karchach, it's as follows. Whenever we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us an ezer in Avodas Hashem, doing something that helps us, it's there's the periphery. If I want to sit and learn, I need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide a gemara for me, a yeshiva for me, tuition, money to live on, abilities, fine. Those are all periphery. But when we're talking about the guf of tshuva and avoda, what are we talking about? And the answer is as follows. If we're to ask ourselves, what is the single strongest factor for having someone else, for me wanting to do for someone else, to do someone else a favor, to help him, to be close with him, all of those things, what is the most important in you? The answer would be the gilui of ratzon of the other person. If I come to somebody's house and I see how he appreciates my coming, then I want to come. If you see a smile across his face and he says, I miss you, so it gives you cheshit to come back. If he says, oh, you're here, great. So you don't have so much cheshit to come back. My mother's in a home, and when my kids come to visit me, so I usually prod them to go there. My youngest daughter hadn't gone there in a very long time. She hadn't been around that much. So when she was here with her husband, so I pushed her very strongly to go, and she didn't want to go. And you know, it's been quite a while. It's been 2 or 3 years since they really saw her. Isn't that, you know, she's older, and so I pushed them hard, and they went. And as soon as my mother saw them, she broke out this extraordinary smile and said, "Sivya, Sivya." And you know, and my daughter was very moved, and she said, "Yes, it was worth coming." Whenever you have a gilui of rutzen from the other person, somebody once said about shidduchim, you want the person who wants you the most. You run after somebody that you think is super, but if the person keeps sort of giving off an aura that you're less than that, it dampens your cheshik. The person could be less than super, but if the person who really, really, shows how much they want you, it's extraordinary. It's a pasuk, kemayim apanim apanim, kelev adam la'adam, like water reflects, like a mirror reflects a face, so does one person's face reflect the other person. So a gilui of rutzen from a person becomes the meshicha to the other person. So Haroitza Veshuva means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be megala to us that he wants us back. The sense of wanting the other person is the thing that brings it back the most. Even in a chinuch situation, when somebody has done really bad and sort of been shut out of a group, a school, whatever it is, a lot of times the moment when there's some sort of gilui that he's wanted has the most powerful effect on the person. So if we ask something like HaKadosh Baruch Hu in tshuva, it's not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't do tshuva for us. That's what we're supposed to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be megala, a rutzen for our tshuva. And that rutzen becomes the greatest motivator for tshuva. Okay, let's see the next one. Slach lo navinu ki chatonim chalam ki kivashana ki meichav asleach ata baruch ata Hashem chana mar velesleach. So, obviously, in line with tshuva, the next thing we ask for is slicha and so on. So let's take a look at the morale over here. Pirush Rabbeinu. Shachet hu ashegeik. So the morale over here says in Kedusha Goddess that Chet is Shegeik and Pesh is Meirik. And then he brings the Korosh Rebbein of Zelish Shoinei. This is an editor's note, bring him. Kachatoyim mechilosim lefisho osa Chet bekavona. On a Chet, you did it bekavona, vaposhea miskavin hu mechavin lahamri. So we say mechalon malkeinu kifashanu because it's the next step. Slachlon avinu kichatonu chet shogeg. That's one step. Mechalon avinu malkeinu kifashanu is the second step. Vafilo hachi b'midas tuva Hashem yisparach mochulo. Omno. Mishehu shogeg. Afagav niachet shogeg hu. They said. Lechura, a shogeg, is a much, much easier avera than a pesha. A shogeg, a chet, is shogeg and mezit. Afagazini, a chet shogegu, mechilosa yoser rechoika. But his mechila is chaim, holding by your feino almost. You wouldn't come by your feino, you'd be healed. the mechila lefisha zeis achet. So he says something that's counterintuitive. Avgi achet shogu mechilosa yoseh rochay lefisha zeis achet yoseh atzim l'adam ma'asha osa yoseh lefitumay. V'miyuch hakadosh baruch hashegeg harei machal chet shikala bekoshal mechila. So he says, Slachlon applies to Chet, Mechila doesn't apply so easy to a Chet. Let's explain what he says over here about this Chet and Mezid. If we ask ourselves, who's worse? So obviously, Mezid is worse. He did it intentionally, he did it with a reason, we want to be married, and so on and so forth. But there's a Shogeg is, in a sense, much worse. I once saw, I've said it a few times, the Ishbitz says it's someone based Yaakov. It's either Mishpatim or Maseh. I don't remember which one he says it in. But it's going over here on the Sukkim of Reitzeah. So it says, Maka ish for mace, most you must. If you kill somebody, you get killed. That's a reitzeach. Be mazin, he gets killed. Vashaloi tzido. Somebody who he didn't plot it. Velokim ina liyadai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought it to him. Vesamti lecho mokum asher yonos shama. Then I'll create a place where you run off to. So I don't remember if he says it in Chazal or he says Vesant Chomoko means without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, this person wouldn't have a makom. Not to have a makom is the worst thing possible. Let's talk it out a sec. Imagine I invite you to my wedding, but I put you on the furthest table out. So it's a certain show of what I think of you. Let's say I tell you you're not invited. You can't get further than that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a makom to every bria. Even a rotzeach has a makom. He's killed. He has a place to be buried. It's a very bad makom, but he exists. He has a halach. A shogeg runs off. Another nut means you don't have a place. When your own citizen you put into jail, a different citizen you send them back to where he came from. The place that the person is at is so he says it's a special chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it created an ir miklat so that there's a place even for a shogeg. So how is shogeg worse than amazed? So it comes out in a certain way, shogeg was amazed. And this echoes very much what the Maral says here. So different ways of explaining it, but they go around a similar point. We'll say the way the Maral says it, and we'll say the way the Ishbitz says it. But it's not far one from another. The Maral says over here, if I have to plot Lamashal, If I need to plan a day at the beach, so that means I planned a day to go to the beach. If I'm a person, I don't have to plan, I just sort of end up at the beach. So then I'm a beach person. That's me. Automatically, my default setting is the beach. Whatever your default setting, I think I was told there was somebody learning in Asia Torah from Brazil. There was somebody who had a Brazilian program there. And a new boy came. I was involved somewhat, teaching somewhat, I don't remember exactly what. And a new boy came, and I asked the one who heads the Brazilian program, my Tivo. So he thinks a minute. He says, he's a typical Brazilian boy. So I asked him, what does that mean? This doesn't help me any. He said, he's a person with tremendous she'ifis and phenomenal plans about growing and steiging and so on. But whatever it is that he plans in the morning, somehow he finds himself on the beach in the afternoon. He himself doesn't know how he got there. He always finds himself at the beach. He says he was planning to sit in the base medrash and learn all day. But as soon as when he looks around, he's at the beach actually, not at the base medrash. So when a person has in himself, shogeg means this is my habit. This is kind of, I didn't think about this. So amazed is an act, whereas an act, it's much more Muhammad than a shogeg. But in terms of a person's own panim, who is more of a chote? The answer is a shogeg. This is my habit. I don't even notice I did it. I thought it was okay. It was under my radar screen. Your default setting shows a lack of kavana, but this is what it is. One.
Would there be different levels?
There's different levels to everything, but at least we understand the principle, then we can know where the levels are.
No, I mean, because like if I like walk into a room and flip on a light on Shabbos, that's a shogeg that does not because.
So first of all, that's called misasik. But in a certain sense, the idea that I'm not walking around Shabbos tensed up about Shabbos. It's a regular day, and if somebody tells me it's Shabbos. There are things that when a person walks in a place that's, let's say a person is fixing electric box, or just playing around with electric box, he doesn't think about something else. He's sitting and thinking about what's sticking out where and what should be careful of. If a person would have the appropriate Yerushalayim, then he would. Someone told me, one of Chazanish's family told me, that Chazanish saw somebody stroking his beard during the weekdays. Chazanish told him, Michal Shabbos. So the guy looked at him, like, Tuesday, whatever. He said, once it becomes a habit, you do it Shabbos also. Then you might come pluck a hair out. The habits you built yourself become you. That was the Ishbitzer has a different knage to it, and it's really sort of a different side of the same thing. He says, if I, Lamasha, walk over to you and give you a smack, birotzen, when I want to do tshuva on that, I could say to myself, why did I do it? Because I didn't like the face he made at me, or the name he called me, or I'm jealous of the pencil that he has, or whatever it is, and I know exactly what needs to be undone to take care of it. But when I do something b'shogeg, it's deep inside me, and I have a very hard time accessing it. I have a very, very big splinter in me, but half of the splinter is sticking out. So it's not hard to take it out. I pull here, just carefully take it out. But if I have a tiny splinter, but it's buried and there's nothing sticking out, I it's very hard to take that out because I don't have where to grab onto it. I don't know why. We spoke about it at Yom Kippur this year. I don't know why. Why was I so careless around him? Why did somehow something fall out of my hand and affect the person? There's something more. Why do I always miss this person's simchas? That there's something deeper inside me that's sort of pulling my hand, pushing my hand, doing something whenever it's like him, and that's very hard to be omit on. It's obviously I don't want to confront it. Obviously I'm not in touch with it. So the world of shogeg, technically on a bezdin level, and just as a general cloud, so we have a yisod. A bezdin deals with. But the dinim deal with things that are on the surface of the world, in olam ha'maisa. That's why shogeg doesn't count. That's why hezek shein and nikah doesn't count. The bezdin needs to have our shlit is on the visible world. So in shogeg, the visible world is I did nothing wrong. I didn't say I'm going to Michal Shabbos. If Aiden would have told me Shabbos that you're going to get skila, I would say, Gevalt, thank you for saving me. I didn't. But what was going on? Why is it doesn't matter? You guys are so careless about this, that, the other thing, and so on. That's so. In Mechila, it says is shayach dafke to pshia because even though it's a step later, it's harder, but it's easier to get a complete mechila than it is for some that show. Okay. Yes. No. So that's what he seems to be implying. Slicha seems to be a lighter. There's a big shaila here. What's the order of slicha, mechila, kapara? Which one is the easiest, the lightest, the hardest? Which one's more kapara? Which more slicha? Also, the word mechila, it's fascinating. Slicha appears in the Torah, kapara appears in the Torah. Mechila doesn't. Where does the word mechila come from? Why is that a third party? Like, you know, the Torah uses the kapara, manifsha. What are we using? It's interesting. I don't have a clear answer. Okay.
Hashem's Mechila.
Yes.
Hashem's Mechila is close to them. Why is it? Why isn't Chatanu later? And
so he seems to, if I can get something from the Maral, either, well, I don't know whether he's saying it in the Tefillah or saying it outside, but we can ask first for Chet. It's like if I ask you for a $1,000 donation, you say, why not? I get brave and I say, how about a $5,000 donation?
I think
Shogeg
is
worse. So Shogeg, on one level, Shogeg is easy to bechapa. In the dimension of which is a worse Aveira, which is a bigger splinter, the one that's longer. In terms of which one is going to be hard to really get it out, you know, I have guts to ask first for Shogeg, but it's much harder to completely eradicate the Shogeg. So on one level, in terms of asking, it's natural to ask first for, you know, do something for my Chatoyim, and if you're Nichalei, do something for my Pshoyim as well. But then I need to ask myself, But the level that I can ask for is easier for a mezid than for sure. That's what the Maral is saying. Okay.